This story is dedicated in honor of the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin's upcoming wedding anniversary on the 14th of Kislev by Avram David Moshe ben Miriam Liba.
There was a very fine Jewish man. His name was Reb Shamsai. His job he did to make money was he would bind books. You could see a lot of times different books. You could see holy Svarim, holy books, a Siddur, a Chumash, a Tilim, and there's a lot of pages, a lot of papers. But how do these papers stay together, not fall apart, and not fly apart, is in the corner, there's like strings that tie together all the papers and keep it together and with a cover. There's a whole way how they do it. Nowadays, they do it with machines. Machines do it. And if you use it a lot, it can get ripped. If they get it fixed, fine. But in the time of this story, so they didn't have all those machines to do it. Maybe had a little bit of machines that help him poke some holes a little bit, but mostly he had to do it with his hands. And when people wanted, either if they had a safe or if they had a book that got, you know, a little, was falling apart, they'd bring it to him to fix. Or if they wanted to make a book, that's what he would do. So everybody liked him, and people liked going to him to fix or make their books, because they saw he was very, very honest. He never charged people more money. Even if he thought maybe he could trick someone, he never ever tried to trick anyone. And he did a very, very good job. The svarim of the books all came out perfect and beautiful. Okay, everyone liked him, even though he didn't really seem to be so wise. He didn't seem like he learned so much, but everyone liked him. Fine. So he lived with his wife, very calm and, mostly happy. He didn't really have anything bad happen to him, Baruch Hashem, at least for that. But there was one thing that made him sad that didn't happen to him. Nothing bad happened, but something good did not happen. So he was kind of sad about that, is that they never had any children. They were married already a bunch of years, and they didn't have children. So a lot of times he would be working with his needles, his threads, and his machines, poking the holes and sewing it. And while he'd be working, he'd be saying to him, davening, Hashem, please, I really want to have a child. Please, Hashem, please. Also, his wife would a lot of times be at home, and she's taking care of the house, doing different things at home. And while she's doing things with her hands, with whatever she's doing, she'd be with her mouth saying to him, davening, Hashem, please, we want to have a child. When years passed, and Reb Shabbos was already getting older, and he was getting weaker. So when he gets older, they don't have as much strength as when they're young. And he wasn't able to sew all the books as much as he used to. And also less people started coming to him for business to get their books done. So let's think. If he's doing less and less customers, then automatically he has less money. So now it came time to go to the store and buy food. And I don't have so much money like I used to. So he couldn't buy food for himself as much. So a lot of times, him and his wife, they would survive off a little bit of bread. That's all they would eat the whole day. And sometimes they weren't even so lucky to buy fresh bread, because they couldn't always buy a new loaf every day. They would, this one loaf of bread will last them, it could be a week. So by the end of the week, the bread could be very hard. But the only thing is that there's one day of the week where it's a mitzvah, you're supposed to have a lot of nice foods. And that is on
Shabbos.
That's right, on Shabbos. It was to honor Shabbos with nice foods, with fish, with meat, with wine, whatever you could do. As long as you could afford it, it's good to do. So they said, no, we have to honor the Shabbos. You know what? We have some few coins left here and there, and they would spend a few, extra coins on getting a little bit of fish, a little bit of meat, get some wine, make sure they have challahs, all the nice foods to honor the Shabbos. So they did that and used their last, coins they had, but then those coins also ran out. So now what do they do? So then they started even to sell things from their house to get money to buy food. Like they saw, we have a few extra pillows. I don't need those extra pillows. Okay, I'll sell it, get some coins, and buy food. But they realize, I have an extra chair. I'm not really using it. I have a couch. I don't need the couch anymore except another chair. They started selling things from their house because they didn't have any money left. And then with the coins, they had money for food. And spending mostly the nice food for Shabbos and then a little bit of bread for the week. until came a time where they had nothing left to sell. What are they going to sell? Sell their last pots and pans? They can't do that. How are they going to cook and have any food? So you might think that someone like this, they're getting older, getting weaker, and they don't have so much money, they're selling their stuff and barely have food. You might think they'd be sad. But in general, maybe they're a little sad they don't have a child, but they didn't walk around all sad all day. In fact, whenever they would get their food for Shabbos, even if she took a fast few coins or sold something before she would make the food, or maybe when she was making it, she would turn, look up to Shemaim and thank Hashem, and say, Hashem, thank you so much. You know what I'm doing now? Such a special present we have. Hashem gave us the special Holy Shabbos, which 6 days Hashem made the whole world, and the seventh day Hashem rested and made a Shabbos, a special holy day. And Hashem wants to share this special holy day he has with us, with the Jewish people. It's a special schus, a special merit that only we have. Only Jewish people have the day of Shabbos. Hashem sharing with us. Saying, Hashem, thank you for giving us a special gift. Please, Hashem, help. The foods I make should be good, tasty, and enjoyable, and an honor, in order to honor the special holy guest, the special Shabbos. And she was so happy every time she got to honor Shabbos. Okay? But now came a week where not only there was no money left, they had nothing left to sell to get coins. And now she was worried. She was upset. How am I gonna make Shabbos look nice? And it already came, days were passing, coming closer. It already came Friday morning. And by now, the wife already has tears in her eyes. And she turns to her husband and she said, my dear husband, Shabbos is coming and we don't have anything to honor Shabbos properly. Nothing left. Maybe you will go to our Jewish brothers and ask them for help. They're very kind-hearted. I'm sure they'll help us. And he said, what? I should go ask for tzedakah, ask people to help me? No, chas v'shalom. My whole life, I never had to take tzedakah, take charity from other people. I help people. I never had to. I don't want to take now anymore. Take now. I don't need to. Hashem can help me. Now, really, if someone is in such a situation that they don't have food, then not only they're allowed to take tzedakah, but usually it's actually a good thing. I'll tell you, for example, if there's a big mitzvah, to give tzedakah, to help someone, and Hashem pays back, and it's a very big schos, a very big merit for them, but in order to give tzedakah, one person has to give the money to someone, and then there has to be someone who's taking it also. The person who takes it is also doing part of the mitzvah. So if someone is in, for whatever reason, is in such a situation they don't have food, then it's usually actually a good thing actually for them to take. Feed people. People shouldn't be hungry. But if someone doesn't really need, and he pushes himself, I'm not going to take tzedakah, I'm just going to trust in Hashem and I'll use whatever little bit I have, and he tries not to take, that's also it's way even better. If he doesn't need it, he says, okay, I don't need so much extra, I'm enough with what I have. So here, this, Reb Shabbosai, was said, look, my whole life I never took tzedakah. And Hashem always helped me, and I always only give other people. I don't think now I need to take, and Hashem's going to help me. So, for him, it seems like he did the right thing in this story. I'm not saying everyone has to do that, but that's what he did. It seems like you'll see from the story what he did. It was good. So he said, not only I don't want to take, but he said, please, my wife, please don't go ask for tzedakah from people. And okay, it was getting a little later, almost a few hours after Shabbos. And I said, okay, I may as well go to shul. He couldn't help his wife cook because there was no food to cook. So he left and he went to shul. The girl started saying tilim before mincha, text to tilim. Okay, he was there for a while. He daven mincha. Now later, they daven kol Shabbos, they daven ma'ariv. And everybody left, going home to have the Shabbos meal. And Shabbosai stayed behind because he's not going home to Shabbos meal. Maybe he has a few little crumbs of bread in his house. That's it. Okay, he's not in a rush. So finally, after a while, maybe he learned something. Finally, he started walking slowly towards his house. When he got a little closer to his house, he saw something strange that made him stop. He said, "Hey, out of my house is coming a light. How is there a light in my house? We didn't have any candles left, and we didn't have money to buy candles. How is there a light coming out?" And he felt, "Oh no. You know what must have happened? Probably it was too hard for my wife. She couldn't imagine being hungry and not having food for Shabbos, not having candles. So she probably, after I left, I told her, 'Please don't go ask people.' And she probably just went to the neighbor and said, 'Please, can you help me? I need it for Shabbos.' And the neighbor probably gave her a bunch of stuff." "Oh no. Okay, you know what? What I need to do? I should come home and complain? Make her sad? That's not a good idea. I'll come home and I'll smile. I'll pretend nothing happened and I'll just be happy on Shabbos. You know, after this, I'll be nice to my wife." Okay. So he came inside the house and he smiles and he starts singing. Shalom Aleichem, Malachim Ashar. He starts singing. Okay. Then his wife brings him the Kiddush cup and a bottle of wine. Wow. Bottle of wine? Where did that come from? They didn't have any bottles of wine in their house. I said, okay, she probably got from the neighbor a bottle or asked them for money. But he didn't say anything. Fine. Made Kiddush on the wine. Good. Ah, it was delicious. Very nice. The cup of Shabbos Kiddush. And then his wife brought out beautiful challahs. They washed hametzi. They washed their hands. He had said hametzi in the challah. And then his wife brought out beautiful pieces of fish. And by now he couldn't hold himself back anymore and said, "My wife, listen. How did you get all this fish, all this food? Why didn't you listen to me? I told you not to go ask people for help, not to ask, you know, from people." She said, No, I didn't. Chas v'shalom. I listened to you. No, none of the neighbors helped me. Hashem helped me." I said, "What? What happened?" I said, "Yeah. What do you mean? You left the shul, and there was a lot of time before Shabbos. And I was sad. I was even crying a bit because I can't honor Shabbos now. And I figured, you know what? If I can't honor Shabbos with food, I might as well honor Shabbos by cleaning up nicely. At least, you know, scrub, sweep, whatever, who knows what, make sure all the clothes are nice, everything." And I started sweeping and cleaning, and I got to a corner where I saw, like in a closet, some old clothes. And I started looking through, and I found my wedding dress. That I wore by our chasna, by our wedding. And I started touching it, and I felt something hard attached to it. And I saw attached was a beautiful piece of jewelry attached to my wedding dress. It had gold and even some diamonds on it. So I looked at it and said, "Wow, this is worth a lot of money. I thought I had no money left. Look what I have." So I took that jewelry. I ran to the goldsmith, a place where they could buy and sell gold and diamonds, all these things. And for that jewelry, he gave me a whole bag of coins, a bunch of coins. And then I ran to the marketplace and I bought the vegetables and the wine and the fish and the challah. I bought all the foods and now I have everything. All the nice foods here for Shabbos. And I even have money for the coming weeks. So when I was Shabbos, I heard that Hashem helped them. And that he didn't have to ask from anyone. He was so happy. He started laughing and smiling and he got up and he started dancing. He was so happy. Okay. Sat back down, and they're eating, and Shri said Dvar Torah. After eating a soup, again, he's so happy he got to honor the Shabbos and didn't have to ask any help from anyone. Again, he got up and started dancing. Okay? Then, a little while later, a third time, even after having some meat. Wow, meat. His wife got meat for Shabbos. He got up and started dancing and thanking Hashem. So happy. Okay? The same Friday night, by the big tzaddik, the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov was by his suda, by his meal, with his talmidim, the students. And after Kiddush, the Baal Shem Tov had made a big, big smile, like laughing. And his students are looking at him, looking around. What happened? All of a sudden he's smiling and laughing. Anybody do anything? Okay. No one knew why. Fine. A little while later, they're in the middle of Suda and in the meal, and the Baal Shem Tov is saying Torah. And again, the Baal Shem Tov makes a big smile and starts to laugh. And no one knew what happened. All of a sudden, person is laughing and smiling. Okay. A little while later, a third time, Baal Shem Tov, because a big smile laughs, and he, with such smile, Baal Shem Tov got up and started to dance. So all the Talmidim, the students, see the Baal Shem Tov get up and dance. They also got up and started dancing. No one knew why, but Baal Shem Tov's dancing, must be something happening. Who knows, in heaven somewhere. And they all got up and started dancing fine. After Shabbos is over, after the Meir Avdallah, so one of the Talmidim asked the Baal Shem Tov and said, Rebbe, please, forgive me for asking, but could you explain to us what happened Friday night? What was the whole joy? Was it Simcha? So Baal Shem Tov said, go call the wagon driver, Alex. He should get ready the horses. We're going on a trip, and you'll know the answer to your question. Okay. So this guy, he was trained very well. He knew exactly what to do. The Baal Shem Tov wants to go on these trips. He was an expert, exactly how to travel. You know what he would do? He would sit in the driver's seat, let go of the ropes, and take a nap. He was an expert at doing it. He knew exactly how to sit there and fall asleep. And then the horses, they knew where to go all by themselves. Baal Shem Tov was a big tzaddik, and somehow the horses figured out exactly where the tzaddik wants to go. And the Baal Shem Tov, a lot of times, had a special miracle happen to him called Kfitzas HaDerech, when he would go extra fast. The first time in the Torah where I think we have such a story happening is by Eliezer, the servant of Avraham. Is Avraham sent him to go find a shidduch, a wife, for his son Yitzchak, and it was supposed to be pretty far, but he came the same day. Hashem made it go very, very quick. Baal Shem Tov, big tzaddik, also had a lot of times happen to him. In a short time, they came to the city of Apta. And they came, they davened, and then the Reish HaKol, person in charge of a lot of things there, came over to the Baal Shem Tov, you know, to greet him. And Baal Shem Tov said, please call for me, Reb Shabtai and his wife should come to me. I want to speak to them. So Reish HaKol was wondering, wow, Baal Shem Tov wants to see them, very simple people. Okay, fine. So he called them over, and they came to Baal Shem Tov. And Baal Shem Tov said, Reb Shabtai, please tell us what happened on Friday night. Don't leave out anything. Tell us exactly what happened. And he said, how they didn't have money, and then he left the shul, and his wife found the jewelry, and they had the food, and they were dancing. So Baal Shem Tov then said, did you know that when Shabtai was happy and dancing by a Shabbos table up in Shemayim, up in heaven, all the angels, everyone was dancing with joy, with simcha. Because he was so happy for able to do a mitzvah, it made such a big commotion up in heaven. And everyone in Shemayim was dancing. So the Baal Shem Tov, a big tzaddik, saw what was happening in Shemayim, and he also started dancing. So now, Baal Shem Tov turned to Reb Shabtai and said, you can ask for something. What do you want? Do you want to be very rich? Or do you want to have a child? So Reb Shabtai said, what do I need money for? Better I should have a child. So Baal Shem Tov said, give him a bracha, a blessing, and said, you should have a child who will light up the eyes of the Jewish people with his righteousness, the way he's acting, so helping people, and with a lot of good things, he's going to help a lot of people. The next year, Shabtai had a son, and even though he was already older, the simcha that joined the house was so great, and Baal Shem Tov himself was the tzaddik to hold the baby. They gave the baby a name, Yisrael, who he later grew up to become the famous tzaddik, the Koznish Tzir Magid.